All right. Good morning, everybody. Good to have you here this morning. So thankful for your presence. Even more thankful than that, I'm thankful for the presence of Jesus, who's always with us. And I know you are as well, but we're thankful for you and grateful for your presence in this place this morning. Well, I've got good news and bad news. The good news is that our pastor and also Pastor Stefan, both of those guys, and Antonio as well, they're away this week getting a little bit of a vacation in, a little bit of some rest and relaxation, or Sabbath. That's biblical, right? Rest is Sabbath. The bad news is you're stuck with me. Okay. So I'm giving you that warning now in case anybody wants to run, make a run for it. You know, you are welcome to do that. Well, I don't know if you know this or not. Most of you probably do, but I worked in South Korea for about 10 years. And while I lived in Asia, I taught students from many different countries, but most of them were from various Asian countries around the continent. And then after that experience of about 10 years, I moved back to the U.S. and I started working in a school in Florida. Anybody been to Florida? Anybody willing to go back? Oh my goodness, we have some people that love Florida, maybe some not as much, but that's okay. So when I arrived at this school in Florida, this school had a pretty robust athletics program, had a football team, basketball teams that won state championships, all of this. I'd been working in South Korea for so long. Have you noticed that when you're in a place for a long time, you forget that other places are different and things are different? Well, that's what happened to me. So I went to this new school, and one of the first activities they had was meet your students. And so I had to go and wait this day. Students came in with their schedule to say hi and all of this. And I can still remember this one student in particular who was on the basketball team. He was one of the first ones to show up into my little meeting. And he came through the door, and I was sitting down when he came in. And when I stood up and realized that the top of my head only came to like right here on him, I felt so small. And I was so shocked because I was like, oh yeah, things are different here. Some of these students are much taller than the ones that I'm used to working with. I don't know if that's ever happened to you. Do we have any people in the room that you would say you think of yourself as kind of a short person? Anybody would say, I'm kind of a shorter person. Yeah. Shorter people have challenges, don't they? At least I've heard that like sometimes you have to get some help with getting things on higher shelves, or you maybe need a step stool to get up there. I've heard that shorter people sometimes, on planes, I've noticed like I try to help if someone can't reach the overhead bin, you need to put the luggage up there, that type of thing. There are advantages and disadvantages to being short or tall. This morning I did a very unscientific Google search on which countries have the tallest and the shortest people. And I don't know that this is good research because I actually looked on three different websites and they all had different conflicting information. So this is unscientific. But apparently, according to the websites I looked at, the Netherlands has some of the tallest people in the world. Also, Montenegro has tall people as well. They listed as countries with some of the shorter people, the Philippines. Also, they listed Vietnam and also a country called Timor. So just FYI, if you're in any of those places, don't expect everybody, because this is just the average, right? This is just the average. But being short may have some advantages, it may have some disadvantages. And this morning we're going to talk about a story in the Bible that deals with a guy who had an issue with height and how that played out in his story, because it's a significant part of the story. But the good news is this, regardless of whether you're short or tall today, I think there's something in this message that God may want to have to encourage you. So before we do anything else, I want us just to pray and ask God to help us through this. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for loving us, for being with us, and for just Holy Spirit, we pray that you would be the one who speaks today and that you would be the one who ministers to hearts. God, may you use your word and your truth to empower, encourage, and strengthen. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Well, we want to first of all read through the story. So we're going to get going here. I'm calling this message Coming Up Short. We've all felt like that sometimes, right? We've all felt the moment of coming up short. So here we go. Here's our scripture. This comes from Luke chapter 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. and he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. That means he's short. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see them, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my goods I have given to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Well, we're going to talk about coming up short. And I think there's some principles. There's some things in this passage that really do apply to us, not only in our own pursuit of knowing God, but also in how we reach out and share the gospel with others. And so the first thing I want to talk about this morning and this idea of coming up short is that all people, regardless of their backstory, are invited into God's kingdom. And that's something a lot of people don't realize, because there's this belief that Christians have this idea that only those who are holy and live very well are invited into God's kingdom, or only those who understand the Bible are invited in. But if you notice there in this story, let's look at what the scripture says. "Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich." Did you know the rich are invited into God's kingdom? That wasn't how I got in, by the way. Maybe you either, right? But the rich are invited. So are the poor. So are the strong. They're invited into God's kingdom. So are the weak. They're invited in as well. Now, if you look back at the story in the context of this story in scripture, Israel is under the rule of Rome. They are controlling things. They are the ruling power in this time. These tax collectors, they were appointed by Rome, and basically their job was to come to you to get your money to pay to Rome. We kind of have a similar system with a few differences there, right? We pay taxes. How many of you wake up on April 15th or the day before and you're like, "Yes, I love tax day"? Most of us, probably not so much. Well, in this culture and in this time, these tax collectors had a really bad reputation. The reputation was, Rome said, go collect $10. And then the tax collector shows up at Maria's house and says, "Okay, I'm here to get your taxes. $20, please." And these tax collectors sometimes would use that to their advantage and take advantage of people, right, and cheat them. So you can imagine for the typical Jewish listener or audience, they didn't have a high opinion of tax collectors. They thought of them as criminals. They thought of them as people who were working against the Jewish people because they were working for Rome and they were taking advantage of the people. So when we have this story that begins right away was, this is all about a man named Zacchaeus, a man who is rich, a man who's not just a tax collector. He's the chief tax collector, right? He's the one in charge. He's the boss of the tax collectors. So there's a lot of negativity toward him. When we think about this, we have to come to the reality that this must have been shocking that Jesus was interested in a tax collector. But if we really think about it, thank God that Jesus is interested in the tax collector. Because if he's interested in the tax collector, he's interested in you and me. Amen? It's very easy when we read scripture to put people in the role of hero and villain. And we always love to read ourselves into the story, right, of being the heroes. But in reality, that's not what we're doing here. We're reading the reality of this guy was not popular, was not someone that was loved by the people. In fact, probably when he came around, everybody else got up and left, if they could, within reason. But I want you to know this morning that that Jesus has invited all people, regardless of their background, into the kingdom of God. I love that the kingdom of God is made up of all kinds of people, because regardless of our language or our culture, regardless of our wealth or economic status, regardless of our education or lack of education, regardless of our ability to speak languages, not speak languages, whether we are good business people or make terrible business decisions, whether we live a life that we feel very proud of, or whether we live a life full of shame. God says the kingdom of God is for you. Isn't that good news this morning? That we're all invited into the kingdom of God. Now, here's the thing about an invitation. You invite, but not everybody says yes, right? So Brenda has a lot of gatherings. She's really a good hostess. It's one of her gifts. So she could invite all of us to a gathering, but not everybody's going to necessarily show up, right? There has to be an acceptance, and we'll talk about that a little bit more later on. But the first point I wanted to make this morning is that all people, regardless of their backstory, are invited into the kingdom of God by Jesus. So as you are interacting with people, as you are meeting new people, getting to know people, as you are in that process, family of God, it is not our job to determine who gets invited. They've already been invited by Jesus. It's our job to share the good news that these people are invited. It's awesome. I love it. Let's move on to the next principle here. All are invited into the kingdom of God. The second thing is we must never let our limitations keep us from getting a glimpse of Jesus. Let's take a look at the story of Zacchaeus. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. Well, I can imagine that scene that day with all those people in the crowd. You know, they've been traveling along the road. They're on their way to Jerusalem. Leading up to this story, Jesus has been healing people. He's been doing miracles when you read through the gospel. So you can imagine that crowd is probably getting bigger and bigger and bigger as he travels, because a miracle happens in this city. I guarantee that people kept walking. We want to see what happens next. We're going to keep going, right? So I'm sure that's what's happening. The crowd is getting bigger and bigger. And this guy Zacchaeus has heard of Jesus, and he wants to know who this guy is and what is going on. So he comes out into the crowd, and suddenly he can't really see anything because the crowd is too big. Have you guys ever had that happen? How many of you have gone to some sort of presentation and no matter how hard you try, whenever you buy that seat or you reserve that seat, somehow the tallest person on planet Earth gets the seat in front of you? Has that ever happened to anybody? Yes. And so you spend the whole evening like leaning this way or leaning that way, or maybe, you know, standing up, giving a standing ovation just so you can see what's going on. I don't know what you do in that situation. But this was a situation we can all relate to. When there's a crowd, you can't see around it or over it, whatever. Zacchaeus climbs up in a tree. He gets up and he goes. He ran on up ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. Well, most proper business people don't run anywhere most of the time. But you can imagine, I mean, he wasn't in a suit, but the equivalent of today would be like a businessman running and then climbing a tree. We would all be like, well, that's not very proper. That's not good behavior for a businessman. But that's exactly what Zacchaeus does, is he runs ahead, he climbs up in the tree, and he gets up in there so that he can see. Some people might call that weird. I think a lot of people would call it smart, right? He's getting to a place where he can see, where he can know what's going on. He did not allow his limitation of his height to stop him from getting a glimpse of Jesus. Well, if we think about this in our modern day perspective, Jesus has invited us to the kingdom, but are we allowing some perceived limitation to keep us from really embracing that relationship with Jesus? I don't know. Maybe we are, maybe we're not. We all have limitations because we're all humans. None of us are perfect. None of us live without any sort of issues. But regardless of what that issue may be, I want to encourage you today to know that you've been invited, and don't let that limitation keep you from getting that glimpse of God's love and mercy in your life. We spend so much of our life upset about the things that we don't have, upset about the limitations that we have, upset that we aren't taller or shorter, that we're not smarter, or that we don't have more education, or that we don't have more money. You know, we can make that list of limitations. Maybe there's something physical that we deal with, a sickness, a struggle, whatever it may be. And we spend a lot of life kind of focusing on that. You know, Zacchaeus, he had a limitation, but he didn't let it stop him. He got to Jesus, and he got the look at Jesus that he needed. I wonder if today we might, in our minds, pause to say, whatever that thing is that's limitation, that I perceive as that limitation, whatever it is, maybe today I just let it go and I choose to put my focus on Jesus. I choose to do what it takes to put my mind in a place to receive what he has for me. Zacchaeus did that, and I would encourage you to do the same. Don't ever let your limitation or your perceived limitation keep you from getting that glimpse of Jesus, for he's good. The third thing that I noticed was that Jesus knows us by name. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." Did you notice in the story did not say, Jesus came into town, everybody stopped everything and said, "Let's go around and introduce everybody by name. This is Zacchaeus, this is Sam, this is, you know, whoever." He didn't do that, right? So when Jesus approaches this tree and looks up and he says, "Zacchaeus, hurry up and come down." There's something powerful in that, right? That Jesus knew him by name, that he had not been overlooked, that he had not been dismissed, that he had not been forgotten by Jesus. Amen? Boy, sometimes we feel like that, don't we? We sort of feel like when things begin to go wrong or when life doesn't pan out the way we wanted it to, we almost feel forgotten. And we almost feel like, well, does he even know that I'm here? When you're praying for something and the prayer doesn't seem to be being answered in the way that you wish it would or in the speed that you wish it would be answered, it's easy to get in that place of, God, do you even see me? Do you even know that I'm here? Are you even aware that I'm calling out your name? My friends, the answer is yes, he does. But you have to lean in to trust that God's ways are bigger, God's ways are different sometimes than ours, and he knows best. In this situation, Jesus not only recognizes Zacchaeus, he calls him by name and says, "Come down." I love the fact that Jesus is aware of Zacchaeus and who he is, and he's inviting Zacchaeus into the kingdom of God. This morning, whether you feel forgotten or whether you feel like you are in some other place, I want to remind you that Jesus knows your name. And when you call out to him in prayer, he is listening. You know, prayer, we could talk a lot about it, but much of prayer is about the relationship more than the result. Amen. It's about the relationship of trusting our Savior, getting to know him. It's not like a genie in a bottle where we say, "Okay, I'm going to pray three times," and boom, the answer comes. Or where we say, "Okay, I'm going to control God and tell him what to do. God, you need to do this, this, and this for me." That's not prayer. That's not what's going on there. Instead, prayer is about that relational part where we're leaning in and we're beginning to recognize, you know, God, I love you and you love me and I'm going to be in relationship with you. And regardless of what happens, whether you say yes to my request or you say no to my request or you say, "Wait, it's going to come, but it's going to be later," I'm going to trust you and I'm going to believe you and I'm going to lean into the relationship. This morning, my friends, I encourage you that Jesus knows your name. And not only your name, he knows you. You know, I think about how important names are, right? Have you ever had somebody call you by the wrong name? You ever had that happen and they did not realize they were doing it? And they did it over and over clean. They just did it over and over. I say that because for those of you that are, you know, seeing this later, Cleani is her name, but a lot of people, when they see it written, they start saying clean. So, yeah. Yes. Yes. But yeah, when that happens, it's sort of, disappointing, right? But when somebody gets it right and you know they're talking to you, there's relationship there because they're calling you because they know you and they have that love and concern for you. That's exactly what happened. My friends, Jesus knows your name. Another thing we see in that scripture is that he says, "Come down. I'm going to stay in your house today." Jesus not only wants to visit our houses of our lives, he wants to move in. He wants to live there and dwell there, and he does that by the power of the Holy Spirit, right? But you can imagine what an honor this must have been. It's kind of an honor when people come to your house, right? When you host an event and people show up and they come to your house and they enjoy that time of meeting together. It's special, right? It's nice to go to a restaurant, or it's nice to go to a coffee shop or have a picnic, but there's something special about coming into someone's home. There's something special about that invitation. So when Jesus says, "Zacchaeus, not only do I know your name, but I'm coming to your house. You got to come down quick. We're going to your house." I can imagine the honor that must have been for Zacchaeus, that all of these people who saw him as despised, and here is Jesus, the one who heals, the one who saves, the one who turns lives around, says, "Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house. There's a huge crowd here, but I'm coming to your house." And I think about our own lives this morning. When Jesus is calling us into relationship with him, when he's calling us by name, he doesn't just want to come for a visit. You know, he doesn't want to come to just for a moment of, okay, let me come in, say hello, and then I'm leaving. But when we come into relationship with Jesus, he moves in and he begins to dwell within us. The house, the heart, if we consider our heart like a house, right? He dwells within us. The Holy Spirit begins to lead us, direct us, comfort us, encourage us, empower us. All of these things happening. My friends, today Jesus doesn't want to just visit. He wants to live there. Scripture says Zacchaeus hurried and came down, and he received him joyfully. When we understand who Jesus is, when we understand his great love, there's going to be a joyful reception of him if we understand him as he really is. The next thing I saw in this passage is that the opinion of the crowd isn't always accurate, nor is it beneficial. Let's take a look here. It says, so he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. Pretty harsh, right? So rather than this being a joyful moment where the crowd says, wow, look what Jesus is doing for Zacchaeus, they become accusatory and they begin to turn to the person beside them and whisper and say, I can't believe this guy. He's going into the house of a sinner. What's he doing with a sinner? You know, and so I thought about our world today, especially right now in our culture. We are a culture that's driven in a large part by social media, by tweets, by people putting information out there. And I want to just encourage you in that process that if you're going to get information, get it from the right place and make sure that place is Scripture, especially when it comes to theological things, right? Don't just jump into anything you hear or say or some little, you know, 10-word tweet. You got a relationship with Jesus. You got to know him. You got to walk in that relationship. I want to encourage you in that. I wonder today if this situation had happened, if back in this day they had things like, you know, Twitter and Snapchat and all the social media out there, would Jesus have gone in and then everybody have pulled out their phones immediately? Some would probably start filming it, you know, to broadcast, or some would go on like a live and broadcast it. And there would probably be like, you know, I don't know if people still use hashtags, but a few years ago they would do that, probably hashtag like, you know, oh no, he's eating with a sinner, or, you know, sinner dinner. I don't know what they would say there exactly in that moment, but I can imagine all of the response that people would put out there. By the way, please don't go home today and be like telling your family we're going to have sinner dinner at 7 o'clock and you're invited. Don't do that. That would be awkward. But I think about that, and I think about the fact that the response that Zacchaeus had was joyful. God has invited me and he's coming to my house. The response that the crowd had. Now remember who's in this crowd. These aren't people that don't know. These are people that many of them have been traveling with Jesus. They saw him heal. They saw him cast out the demons. They saw him restore sight to the blind. They saw all of this. And now suddenly their response is, oh my goodness, look who he's with now. May that never be our story as the church. May our story be a story of the joyful reception of people who are invited into the kingdom of God. Amen? That when we see God begin to move and work in places that we aren't expecting, that we don't see people in the category of sinner and saint. Instead, we see them in the category of either people who have come into relationship with God or people who are invited, and we want them to join. Because it's really easy, especially right now with what's happening in the culture, it's really easy to want to label people as good or bad. And to want to label ideologies and thoughts as these are the good people that are for what I want, and these are the enemies that are against what I want. This is especially true in politics, right? But you know, Jesus did not come to be a political king. You guys know that, right? He didn't, there's nowhere in scripture where he says, I'm coming to be a political leader. Instead, he's coming to bring the kingdom of God to humanity. And so I want to encourage you as you are seeing God move in people's lives that we do a few things. Number one, let's be patient and let God do the work rather than try to do it for him. Amen? I know we want to see progress in people's lives and I know we want to see change, but God hasn't called us to try to force people into things. It's just not true. If Brenda said, you're invited to my house, and then she said, and if you don't come, I'm going to break your legs. Well, that's not an invitation anymore, right? That was supposed to make you laugh. All of you were horrified at that thought of Brenda breaking legs. But anyway, be horrified at that thought, right? Because that's not an invitation at that point. That's forcing people in. But you know, the idea there is that Jesus has invited, and that when people who are far from God start taking steps to get closer, we ought to be rejoicing. We should be joyful. Amen? That people that are far. Now I want you to think right now, don't say it out loud, but think right now of maybe somebody you know that's far from God. That if you would look at them, you would assume, now we don't know the heart, obviously, so we're not judging here, but we would assume that they're far from God. And then we begin praying and we begin to see God moving in their lives and they begin to take steps forward. Your response should not be, well, that person over there, you know what? It's just a phase. They're going to turn around. They're going to be the same person again 6 months from now. Folks, that's not our job. Our job as children of God is to love God and to love others. When they begin to make moves closer to the kingdom of God and God is the one working in their lives, we should rejoice. We should love. We should embrace. We should celebrate. And you know what? If somebody's making moves forward and then they make a few moves back, we love, we have compassion, we show mercy, we just be the people of God. Amen? That's what we're called to do. Let's not be a church that says, oh my goodness, look at that sinner coming through the door. Oh no. But rather, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you're working in everybody's lives. And the key that we do that in is because we know that we are sinners. We know who we are. Amen? We know those parts of our heart that are not surrendered that God needs to have control over. And so I just want to encourage you. Let's be that kind of embracing community that welcomes those who are coming to God. Well, we see this in Zacchaeus' story, that change is the evidence of true repentance. Here's how we see it. Immediately after this happens, here's what Zacchaeus says and does. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, restore it fourfold. I restore it fourfold. Did you notice that nowhere in the story does Jesus say, Zacchaeus, if you want to follow me, here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to give half of everything you own to the poor. Did Jesus ever say that? Did he say, Zacchaeus, you're going to have to pay back anybody you cheated four times as much? Did Jesus ever say that to Zacchaeus? No, he didn't. What you're seeing happen, Zacchaeus is coming into that moment where the goodness and the love of God is flooding his life. And one thing I can promise you this, the closer you get to Jesus, the more aware you will become of your own sin, which is going to help you love people more, because you're going to be so aware of your own failings, you know, that you're going to have some mercy and compassion. But immediately, Zacchaeus begins to do this. Now, the only way he's going to be doing this is if he realizes there's a problem. Nobody told him. Zacchaeus, you've been doing things wrong. He saw it in Jesus. He immediately says, I'm going to pay back those I've cheated, not just once, but four times the amount, and I'm going to give half that I have to the poor. I would say as we read this, what does that mean for us today? I think it means that we must be willing to repent, and we must be willing to turn around, right? Like we're walking this way, and repentance has the idea of turning away from our sin and walking the other way. And so that's part of that as well, is that turning away from and turning to. You know, when Jesus calls us by name, when we're invited into the kingdom, when he wants to come live in our house, and we shake off the opinions of the crowd, then there is a point in this story where we have to repent, where we have to turn to Jesus. And repentance is a beautiful thing because it means that we really see and know how much God loves us. When you really realize how much God loves you, when you really realize all that pain, all that struggle, all that brokenness God has come to heal, then you'll see that repentance piece is a beautiful part of the story. A lot of people are scared of repentance because of many reasons. They're scared of it because of the shame. Like, oh, if I repent, that means I have to acknowledge that I did something wrong. Yes, that's true. Some people are afraid to repent because they're fearful. Like, can I really make this change in life? Can this really take root in me? If it were up to us, I would say that would be a valid fear. But it's not up to us. It's the power of the Holy Spirit living in us who begins to make those changes. And so, my friends, whatever God may be calling us to repent of, I pray that we'll do that, whether that be to come into relationship with him or whether it be we're already walking with him, but there are things creeping into our lives that we need to repent of and ask God to change in us. Well, the last part here that we want to look at is that Jesus has come to seek and to save the lost. This is what he said. Jesus said to them, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." That's beautiful, isn't it? When you think about the lost or losing something, in our minds, we always think about something that you know, we misplace and then we find it again. I don't think that's an exactly equivalent to what Jesus is talking about here, but there's something in there that's similar, right? That God made us, that he created us, the entrance of sin into the world, the brokenness of the world there's been a loss that's taken place there. There's been some destruction and corruption and all of that. But Jesus is calling us back into relationship. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. I love that Jesus is seeking. Amen. You remember back in the Garden of Eden? Adam and Eve, the fall. Do you remember what they did? They hid. They hid from God. But what does God do? He comes looking for them. Because that's the kind of God that he is. He loves us. Today, whether you are in a spot of feeling of being in right relationship with God, but maybe that's not everybody. Maybe there are people who have kind of gotten lost. They feel separated. They feel disconnected. Can I tell you that just as Jesus came for Zacchaeus, he's coming for us today. And he's coming in a good way to restore, to heal, to change. God wants to do that in our hearts and in our lives. So no matter what your backstory, whether you're a person who is doing your best but got some issues, or whether you feel like I'm the worst of the worst, I feel like everything has gone wrong in my life, can I tell you, first of all, God sees those people the same, because he's not looking at how much bad we've done. He's looking at the condition of the heart. But whether you might be in that place, or maybe you feel like you've just really blown it and messed up, the Son of Man, Jesus, has come to seek and connect with you this morning. The Son of Man has come to save those who are lost this morning. It's a matter of opening our heart to Jesus, repenting, and allowing him to come in and live and to dwell within us. It's been beautiful the last few weeks. We've had some pretty amazing ministry outside of church with people in other countries, and then some of them are right here in our midst. But there's been one person in particular that God has opened the door, and I've literally seen this process happen in this person, where this person was far from God, was living broken, was living in a condition that was not good, was suffering all the bad effects of sin. And the Holy Spirit began to work in this person's life, and the Holy Spirit said, "Hey, you, I know you by name, and I want to come to your house today." This person that I'm talking about opened their heart to God, allowed God to come in, and I'm telling you, and I'm not exaggerating, I can see a change in the person's countenance. There has been such a transformation that's been happening. Now this person is contacting me sometimes 3 or 4 times a week. Can we read the Bible together? Can we pray together? Can you just pray for this? And every day, I'm praying for you, praying for this, praying for the church. And so the reason I'm telling you that is this, that God not only wants to save us because he's seeking us, but he also wants to use us. And this young person that I'm talking about, he's in his 20s. He said to me the other day, "Do you think God would let me help? Would you think God would let me start a church here where I live?" And I said, "You know, I don't know what God's plan is specifically for you, but I know that God wants to use you to bring about the news of the kingdom of God." So what about you this morning? Do you feel like you are coming up short? I don't mean your physical height, but do you feel like you've come up short in this journey of life or this process of walking into relationship with Jesus? Can I let you know this morning that God is able and that God is willing and that the step that needs to be made is that step of reaching out in faith and saying, "God, I receive your son Jesus. I repent of my sins. I turn away and I walk in new life with you." If that's the desire of your heart, God can do that today. And there are many people in this place that can pray for you. But maybe you are a believer, and maybe you are walking in relationship with God, but you need somebody to come alongside you and encourage you. Maybe sometimes we need help. Sometimes we might need a boost up into the tree, right? So that we can get up there and get that glimpse of Jesus. Maybe that's what God's calling us to boost one another, to help one another begin to see things from his perspective. Maybe today you're walking with God, but there's some things in your life you need to release to him, that you need to let go of to him. Perhaps that's what he's saying. I don't know. I don't know what he's saying to you specifically. But I know that he's faithful and he's able. And I know that what we see in the story of Zacchaeus is what we can see in our very own lives. And we will move from coming up short to walking in a relationship with God that is taller, higher, and better than anything we can imagine. I'm thinking of that scripture that talks about how wide and how deep and how high is the love of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this story of Zacchaeus. Thank you for the difference you made in his life. And thank you, Lord, for the goodness that you pour out in every moment of our lives. God, whatever you may be saying to hearts today, I pray that we would say yes. And I pray that we would receive whatever it is you have for us today. Jesus, we thank you, we praise you, and we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.